Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Tanya Mosley. Thousands of cases potentially tainted by former state chemist Annie Ducan could be dismissed. During the 9 years Ducan worked for the state, she falsified tens of thousands of drug tests, either making up results for samples she never tested or manipulating the samples in order to ensure they tested positive for drugs. Ducan served 3 years in prison and was released on parole last year, but the fallout over those cases continues. WBUR's Deborah Becker has been covering this story since all of this came to light in 2012, and she's at the John Adams Courthouse with more. Hi, Deb.
Hi there, Tanya.
So right now we're looking at a tally. How many were dismissed today?
Well, it's still trickling in. Have until end of business day today, which is essentially 4:30 this afternoon when this courthouse closes. This is the courthouse housing the state Supreme Judicial Court. So what the prosecutors have to do is file by 4:30 today the number of cases they intend to dismiss. So they've identified thus far about 24,000 potentially tainted cases, and they've indicated that more than 23,000 will be dismissed. A couple of the totals that we've gotten so far at the courthouse today are Essex County. They're going to re-prosecute about 55 cases out of 4,200. Mm. Bristol County, 112 cases. Suffolk County, 117. The Cape and Islands, one case remains for re-prosecution. So it does look like it will fall into the maybe 600 or 700 cases left to re-prosecute, meaning that more than 23,000 will be dismissed.
I know it's really early, but do you have any idea the measure by which they chose these specific cases to re-prosecute versus those to dismiss?
Well, this is not for a long time. We should say there have been several cases that have been brought to the state Supreme Judicial Court, which is why this is the place where all of this is being filed today. The State Public Defender's Office, the American Civil Liberties Union, and others have filed suit saying that these convictions should be dismissed because the evidence was potentially tainted. The problem went on with Annie Ducan at the state drug lab for a decade. And they really don't have a handle on how many cases and what was happening there. So we asked in this latest legal action brought by the ACLU, the court asked the prosecutors to identify cases based on this tainted evidence.
You know, you're breaking up. You are breaking up, Deborah. I am so sorry. Can you continue to talk? Let's see if we can hear you because you're saying such important things. Yeah. I'll cut you off when I can't hear you anymore. I'm so sorry, Deborah. I am so sorry. We're having, you know how it is with cell phones, right? But we do have in the studio to talk a little bit more about these cases, our WBUR legal analyst and retired federal judge, Nancy Gertner. Hi, Nancy. Good to see you.
Hi.
So we heard a little bit from Deb Becker about the process and what's happening today, and we'll learn a little bit more as time goes on. The ACLU had a news conference also to talk about these cases, and they're pushing for all of the cases to be thrown out. I'd love to know from you, first off, what's your reaction to what you've been hearing so far, the decision from some of those jurisdictions to throw out some and to retry others?
Well, there are two ways that they could have proceeded, and one way was to say, when a bedrock of the government's case is tainted in the way these cases were, that they should be dismissed. That was the so-called global remedy. If anyone pled guilty or went to trial based on a Ducan certificate of drug, you know, what the drug consisted of, that it should be dismissed. The next round was, no, these cases should not be dismissed if there was independent evidence that suggested that the drugs were either what she said they were or that the drugs were illegal and also independent evidence of quantity. So essentially what the prosecutors have been doing is going through the list to see if there's independent evidence, if they could prove what she sought to prove through other means. And that's the reason. That's the reason why it's been winnowed down like this. I imagine that in the cases that have been dismissed, there was no other way to prove it other than a Ducan certificate.
I also want to bring in, we have on the line former federal prosecutor Brian Kelly. He is the partner of the firm Nixon Peabody. Hi, Mr. Kelly. Welcome.
Hi, how are you? Hi, Judge Gertner.
Hi.
You? So I'd like to know from you as well, what's your reaction to what you've been hearing? We should hear more by the end of the day today. But I know that you've kind of had some other thoughts around this.
Well, I think my first reaction is, wow, this is a staggering number of cases that are being dismissed. And, you know, it's for good reason. If the chemist can't be relied upon to say something is a drug and it's a drug prosecution, the prosecution hands are tied and they have to dismiss all these cases. But it's really incredible the number of convictions that are now being thrown out. And it has all sorts of collateral consequences as well. Now someone who may have been a felon up until today and couldn't possess a weapon now can go out and get a weapon if he's no longer a felon.
Well, I want to back up a little bit. So you say in both cases, you say it's staggering, but then you also say that if it was tainted, then it's something that has to be looked at. So can you really elaborate a little bit more on the distinction that you're making there?
Well, I don't think it's a distinction. I think it's staggering because of government misconduct. The chemist, she ruined 23,000 convictions, and it's appropriate that those convictions not stand if the main witness to the issue of whether it's a drug or not was corrupt. And so it's staggering to the extent that her bad conduct has had such ramifications. I'm not faulting the prosecutors. Their hands are tied. I think under the law they should dismiss them if they can't prove it independently, like Judge Gertner suggested. If there are confessions, if there are other ways to show these things were drugs and the amounts can be proven, then that's what the state apparently intends to do with a handful of probably what they deem to be the worst offenders.
Judge Gertner, Mr. Kelly brings up the point of dangerous criminals now being possibly released. What's your reaction to that? Do you have any concerns about these folks potentially being released and being a harm to the public?
Well, we obviously have concerns about that. But, you know, the system depends upon the integrity of the chemist and the integrity of the prosecutors and the defense lawyers. If that integrity is undermined, then the society has to take the risk of the release of these individuals. It was something years and years ago that a Supreme Court justice said that, you know, this is the dismissal takes place if the constable has erred in a substantial way. When you're talking about the drug chemist here, you're talking about the centerpiece of a drug case. And so while it's troubling and, it's troubling, there's no question about it. If we don't take these actions, then we're allowing corruption to continue. And, it happens all the time that someone could be exonerated because the evidence was not kept in the way that it should. Something wasn't tested appropriately. The search was illegal. These are the things that we do in order to keep the integrity of the system intact. And I think we have to follow through on that.
You said in an op-ed piece you wrote a few years ago, quote, how many defendants pleaded guilty to a more serious offense because the drug laboratory results about quantity or drug type seemed insurmountable. Can you elaborate a little bit more on this? So we're talking about potentially dangerous folks. We're talking about people who may be low-level drug offenders or higher-level drug offenders, and the processes by which we come to a conviction. You touched on it a bit about how important these drug tests are in coming up with this, but talk a little bit more about that other stuff that happens, which we don't know in every case here, whether or not that's the case.
Well, so the system is distorted not just by the, you know, what you see on television, which is the innocent person pleading guilty or the innocent person being convicted. This also could be someone who was, who in fact had been involved in something low level, who pled guilty to a more substantial charge because his lawyer came in and said, this is what the evidence showed. And so he pleads guilty to X rather than Y. Then there are people who may have, again, pled guilty to what they had done, but they were doing it because they didn't think there was any basis to challenge it in court. Mm-hmm. And the court challenges are not minor in our system. Court challenges to illegally obtained evidence, to tainted evidence, are part and parcel of the system. So someone pled guilty because the lawyer said, you don't have a case, buddy, and it turned out it rested solely on Ducan, then that person should be able to set aside the plea.
Mr. Kelly, what do you say to that, Judge Gertner?
He always agrees with me.
you always agree. That really, the system is what's flawed here, and this really illuminates a larger issue around the system.
Well, look, I don't think we can conclude that there are 23,000 innocent people in this case. You have 23,000 people who were unfairly convicted with a corrupt chemist. They may well, many of them may well be guilty. So I don't think it's a situation where 23,000 people got railroaded on drug prosecutions. At the end of the day, it's a serious crime what she did, and that's why she spent time in prison. And not only did she suffer the consequences, now society and the system are suffering the consequences, because this is no small task for these state prosecutors. They have to go through all these cases and figure out which, if any, can be salvaged. So it's a huge manpower issue for the prosecution's offices to undertake, but unfortunately they had to, because their star witness in many of these cases was lying or making things up, and you can't have that.
It's a huge undertaking, and also a lot of money and resources. Do these jurisdictions, does the state, do we really have enough funding to really investigate these to the scope that's needed? I mean, now we're talking about potentially taking on an already overbloated system.
Well, I mean, I think that's what the SJC, the Supreme Judicial Court, came to that conclusion. I mean, initially it said anybody who pled guilty or was convicted on the strength of a Duquesne certificate could move to set aside the plea. And then we were going to look, the court suggested, at each case to see if they would have gone to trial without the evidence. That turned out to be an incredibly difficult case-by-case approach.
That's right.
And the public defender said that they could not go there because they didn't have the resources. And so the court the second time around, or the third time, whatever it was, said that let the prosecutors determine whether or not they even have colorable basis to proceed without her testimony. And that wasn't this everybody's being dismissed. You have to look at it case by case, but still let the prosecutors winnow it down so that we don't go through the ceremony of review when there was no content to it. But, you know, we have a system in which when someone is acquitted, when someone is found not guilty, it's that the evidence wasn't sufficient. Mm-hmm. They may well have been sufficient to meet the standards mm-hmm. of our Bill of Rights. They may well have been guilty, but we say not guilty if their evidence doesn't meet that standard. In a certain sense, that's what we're saying now. The evidence doesn't meet the standard of integrity that we require of our process, so these people should not be charged. And Brian is quite right. In that pot, there could be the innocent, which I doubt. There's some in that pot. It's not very many. But it's certainly there are people who are convicted based on tainted evidence, and that we have to pay attention to.
There's so much more to talk about here. We're just the tip of the iceberg, really, and we'll be learning more as the evening rolls on and the days go on as well. But I thank you both, WBUR legal analyst Nancy Gertner and Brian Kelly, former federal prosecutor. Thank you both for taking this time to talk with Radio Boston.
Glad to do it.
Thank you.
Take care.
And this is Radio Boston. Thanks for coming into our show today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station.